Got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake. She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here. And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Cicadas.
Although I love
for the first time in
cicada.
Two different times.
Yes,
two different times are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe... maybe you know better.
But in a way,
all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists.
That's more
or
the
something
point.
Is really
or something
going
is returning.
I should be back in school.
This is mostly a protest, but fires have been started.
I just want to remind people that The View and Sonny Hostin fall under ABC's news division. Earthquakes, eclipses, and cicadas returning, all somewhat normal occurrences that we live with, are because of climate change. And that is someone who has the title of ABC News journalist. Why don't they just get like the gang from King of the Hill and Fox can put them on as kind of like a counter to this? Because this whole discussion reminded me of like a King of the Hill skit where they're all standing outside. Yep. Yep. I mean, I'll tell you what, man, nice out. That's exactly what that reminded me of. Just a bunch of dudes just like making up and conversing over bullshit, except there it's funny. And this is just tragic. And again, I will not tolerate bemoaning from media betters and media watchers over Greg Gutfeld on The Five on Fox when they sit there and just ignore this shit because they one day hope to have a job at ABC News. It's April 9th. It's funny because I was taking some notes and this article came across my feed. It popped up over the weekend and I was going to start the show off with it. And I didn't originally see the date on it. I thought this is something that just happened, so I thought it was relevant to me personally, and it turns out it kind of isn't. This article came across, it was published in December of 2018, but for some reason, somebody had it on the timeline and not directed toward me by any means. It just kind of popped out and it was republished or what, about married Fox TV meteorologist, mother of two, who hanged herself is among at least 11 people who have committed suicide after LASIK eye surgery. And I'm not laughing at, obviously, the suicides or anything, but I was kind of like, oh, I didn't know about that. That would explain those thoughts. No, I'm kidding. I haven't had any. It's due to pain. And two of the people who left notes said it was directly attributed to chronic pain from LASIK eye surgery. And I guess my first thought was, 11 people, that's a pretty good ratio, I guess, compared to the, you know, probably millions of people who've had it done, myself included. So people asked for an update. I had my checkup, and I would say the last week or week and a half has been great. I haven't really had adjustment problems. I do a little bit today because I played hockey last night under bright lights. But I stopped using eye drops kind of like every hour, and I noticed that helped clear some things up. My exam went over fine. I don't have any damage done. Everything healed. I never really had any pain. I still a little bit, like if I push too hard when I rub my eye, I get a little bit of an ache, but it's only lasts for a moment. I do have a struggle now with reading up close, small, fine text. Like I noticed I kind of like, when I wake up in the morning, I kind of roll over, scratch myself, kick a Frenchie off the bed, whatever. And I'll look at the phone and I'll, you know, make sure I have messages or check email. And then I'll look at Twitter just to see, make sure Joe Biden isn't dead. and I can't really read it up close anymore. And that was one of the things I expressed to the optometrist, the same one who saw me, consulted me before I went to the actual doctor who did the procedure. And I kind of just said, I feel like I traded one correction for another problem, which is my long distance is fixed, my nearsightedness is fixed, but now I can't read things up close. And I said, I know that you said I was going to need readers eventually, but I didn't think that meant the very next day. And her response to me was less than satisfactory. She said, well, you were always going to need readers. And I'm like, okay, but it's not like I needed them, you know, all of the sudden out of the blue. I need them now because of, you know, suddenly need them because of this procedure. So I'm on track. Everything's fine. I've noticed the last week and a half I've had no real eye strain or whatever. I still get some. It's almost like my eyes have batteries in them, and then towards the end of the day, end of the night, they'll start to kind of strain, but that just helps me kind of go to sleep now. It's like, shut them off. But I saw this thing come across that said basically, yeah, 11 p.m., and this is 2018 or whatever. And it basically said, yeah, this Fox meteorologist, she was complaining about corrective surgery shortly before her own suicide. And then it goes on to mention a few other people that directly referenced in their note they were having chronic pain. And I was kind of like, I never heard about this side effect. Maybe I would have taken that into consideration. But I thought that this was something that recent happened. And then, of course, you go to the Daily Mail and you get sucked into the sidebar. That's a rabbit hole that's almost not worth it, except the new teaser for Joker sequel. So I had to get off of that website or I wasn't going to get anything done today. But that's a brief update. For the most part, it's fine. I still have like this heightened sensitivity to shiny things, headlights, chrome stuff. That doesn't really bother me. I'm kind of fascinated by it. And so that's not really a side effect. But I just stopped lubricating. And I think I mentioned, you know, a few weeks ago, I really struggled there for 2 or 3 days. So I do have my readers. I have my old man glasses. I don't really use them unless I have to do like a ton of reading or writing, which I'm going to have to do today because of the topic in this post at the Free Press. And that's going to fold into something I want to touch on here briefly. We saw Jemele Hill kind of take a run at Caitlin Clark over basically she's treated different because of her race. And that's the only reason she gets more attention than, say, Angel Reese of LSU, who's national champion and all of this other stuff. And that, of course, is ludicrous. She's getting the attention because of the records she's putting up. And that kind of reared its ugly head again this weekend when Lynette Woodward says her all-time scoring record has not been broken by Caitlin Clark because she didn't duplicate the exact same conditions. And Lynette Woodard is African-American, and this is going to go into something about our news media where they all say everything has to be about race going forward from what happened with George Floyd. That was during the New York Times meeting. Race should be involved in everything we report. And this shit is so toxic. I don't have another word for it because what you have is these journalists and pundits basically now saying my record's not broken because it's a white girl. And Jemele Hill saying she's only getting attention because she's a white girl. And that's because they believe the NBA is theirs. And for the most part, it is, at least culturally. But this also tracks back to last year and the MVP conversation around Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic. And it's like, we can't give it to Jokic, even though he had another historical season, because three in a row puts him in company that, and this was done on NBA Players Podcast, where three in a row puts him in a rarefied company. And also, you had Kendrick Perkins from ESPN insert race into it. And basically, that's where Nikola Jokic said, I'm out of this. I'm not going to deal with this anymore. And then he only went on to win the finals MVP and a championship. But that's largely what this is about. And that's going to go into how this all really started. And that was with George Floyd, and where newsrooms decided to start making editorial decisions based on race. And we've seen this now ever since. It's the rise of DEI at schools, at corporations, where teachers are given sensitivity training. Or you at your job, you have to go to a 2.5-hour bullshit seminar and get lectured about your skin color. And so when I saw this comment by Lynette Woodard, and I'm not going to buy into the WNBA or the women's college basketball. I think it's great. It's great that they're getting that kind of attention. And we saw over the weekend somebody from the Outkick, one of Clay Travis's reporters, ask the, I believe it's North Carolina State's head coach, should, you know, trans athletes be able to compete with her girls? And she basically said, hey, as long as they feel like a woman, I don't care. Yes. And I simply put on Twitter, okay, put five of them up against her girls then. If fair is fair, then let's do it. But this is what this kind of reminded me of when I talk about this piece at the Free Press about NPR, is there's a point where he explicitly says race has to be covered in everything. And so when everybody in the entire country is enjoying Caitlin Clark and you finally have put women's basketball on the map, and I saw a tweet from a guy named Eric Contrarian, who's somebody I followed on Twitter for years, and he said they finally have people tuning in because of one player, and their first reaction is to shit all over her. And I thought about that. And that's, for the most part, correct. You have an ESPN paid, or formerly ESPN, Jameel Hill, who's a paid staff writer at The Atlantic and other places. And her thing is to say, oh, she's not so great. She's not so hot. She's only getting the attention because she's white. Because that's the only thing they know. That when somebody like Caitlin Clark comes along, it's, this is our sport. We can't have a white person dominating basketball. And now they have two of them. They have Jokic, who's probably going to win an MVP this year, again. And you have Caitlin Clark. And they see this as a natural resentment. Again, that, hey, this sport is ours. It'd be similar to me as a hockey fan and a hockey player. If a black person started dominating hockey, and that's happened, Jerome Iginla. P.K. Subban was kind of the face of the league there for a hot minute. And now he's on NHL giving analysis. And he's a smart guy, knows the game. And hockey players are just like, yeah, whatever, I just want to go play puck. But this is so fucking toxic. We're not going to recognize records being broken because she didn't do it like me and she didn't do it against the athletes like I did in the 80s or the 90s or whatever. I don't know what to say other than there's an explicit point here to keep you angry. And I talked about that, especially as it relates to race media and race politics. They had a very good teacher there for about 8 years sitting in the Oval Office that has kind of embedded this into the minds of our media. And I guess I look at this and say, until fans make a conscious decision to just kind of put Jameel Hill out to exile, then it's going to continue. But this is when I was reading this post at the Free Press today about what NPR was saying around the death of George Floyd. There's a reason why this is still happening. That why you can't just sit back and, let's say, tune in to a women's basketball game and watch this one player who might very well also be the player that puts the WNBA on the actual map. Whether that happens, I don't know. I'm not really a basketball fan, but at least culturally, it's going to be interesting to see. But again, there's a lot behind this. She actually didn't break my records. And it has a lot to do with the fact that according to some of in our media, and especially in our progressive media, that we cannot abide someone with a different pigment taking over all our culture, sport that we feel belongs to us. In fairness, the head coach, I did hear as I was kind of listening to sports coverage, did give a huge shout out to Caitlin Clark's accomplishments as far as bringing attention, at least, to the game. And I thought, well, right there, that should hopefully shut a lot of these race baiters up. That was nothing but class from her, and kind of brought everything back to earth about the only thing really mattering here is the sport and how the sport thrives, and not really the skin color of the person who's helping that along. You You've been listening to the Versus Media podcast, free member version. To get the rest of the podcast, additional segments, as well as comments, questions answered on the podcast as part of the community, please consider joining one of my three subscriber tiers. There's a monthly, then there's a yearly, and then there's a founding tier as well, which I will participate in chats with members weekly and offer some other perks. You're always, of course, welcome to stay a free member here, and there's, of course, no obligation to subscribe. But you should, because that's where all the fun actually happens. This is the Versus Media podcast on Substack, and as usual, don't ever talk to journalists.